Celtics, select Len Bias of the University of Maryland.
Leonardo down, rebound.
The senior with 2 seconds. Here it goes for the win. Yeah! No, the Cavs got it. Maryland on to the second round and a most heroic finish.
Blackwell stepping up and throwing deep down the far sideline. Caught into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Jones.
Cano foul territory, long throw. Oh, mercy. Got a seat up on for a few years. 2-2 delivery. Oh! Goodbye! Home run! Chris Davis!
Hey, it's a man's game tonight now. You know that. It's a man's game tonight. Here we come!
He's ready to fire on the first one. Bases loaded. Jump swings. Long drive. That is down. And to the wall. Cruises in. Pierces in. Party around. Barney can try to score.
All right, people, welcome back to Be More Wired. This is episode 11. I am Joe Serpico. Scott Rosario is sitting right next to me here. We've got a great interview for you guys tonight. We're bringing on one of our favorite vendors at the ballpark, a guy that we think that many of you guys know. Usually helps us out in Section 82, gets us a little extra motivated to do some cheering for these ball games. So, without further ado, I want to introduce my favorite vendor at Camden Yards. His name is Mark, or we call him Shaky.
Scott and Joe in the house.
Yeah, boy.
Yes, sir. Everybody.
Yeah, boy.
We got the infamous Lemonade Shake guy on with us right now. Mark, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, guys. It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure talking to you and seeing you, and let's have some fun here.
All right, Shake. So, first question. How did you get started? Everybody knows who you are, but nobody really knows that much about you. So, kind of fill us in on how you got started and take us, you know, kind of up to now.
Sure. Well, actually, a friend of mine, it was 20 years ago, and I was at a party, and a friend of mine at the time was a manager of a lemonade stand. Unbeknownst to me, he asked me if I would help out for about a month at the lemonade stand. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, you know, sell some lemonade and ice tea. I thought, that sounds easy enough. I'll give you a month, and that's it. So when I proceeded to go to the stadium, he says, well, here's your rack, meaning a tray. I said, excuse me, what is this for? I was dumbfounded. I thought I'd be working behind a concession stand. So he said, look, just tell me down here, I know you can do it. You need to go upstairs, you have an assigned section, you're going to be working from, say, 350 to 320, you take put one in on the bottom, one in on top, and you shake it up and down. I said, Jed, you're killing me. So I said, okay, I'll give you the 5 days, and I'm out of here. I'm done. See ya, what have you. So proceed to go upstairs. I'm walking up and down the stairs. I thought I was in shape. But if you've never done this type of work, literally holding a tray or holding a tub and walking up and down stairs, it's a completely different workout. So it's very generic. Lemonade, who wants one? You know, one hand, two hand, it is up. I pick it up. I shake it up and down like they showed me to mix the water, the sugar, and the lemon. And I pass it down. And literally, that first day, I felt that there was like 100-pound weight on my arms and my legs. Everything was killing me. Everything. I mean, like, so I go home and I made very little money. I wasn't having a good time. I said, I'll give you the week and I'm done. Originally, I said a month, but I said, I'll give you a week and then I'm done because I thought it'd be at the concession stand. Well, around the fourth or fifth day, towards the, like, that end of the road stand, they moved me down by the third base side, down below, at the end of the third base dugout, to the left field foul pole. The third base, you had assigned areas. Not only rooms where you got your product out, but you had an assigned area, assigned section. So it's one of those hot, humid, 98 degrees summer days in Baltimore, 100% humidity. You ain't been
Oh, yeah.
40 games out, we know how it is.
Yeah, but it's been there, right? It's been nonstop. Because the sweat is, I'm sweating profusely. I'm going down the aisle. Lemonade, they want sports. Next thing you know, there's music going off in between, ending some time.
Right.
Music's going off. They're so hot that I'm going to say lemonade. You know, there's a few people like, I want one. And everything was hurting on me. I wasn't having fun. I really didn't want to be there. And all of a sudden, I slammed down the tray. So if you were the one that was asking for the lemonade, I slammed down the tray. I picked up the lemonade. I said, damn it, you want one? You won't get it now, baby. I picked up that lemonade. And I started freaking out with my bun. Just going crazy. Shaking it, pulling my eyes back, sticking my tongue out, going nuts. And then I did a spin. And then I just take it. And as I pass it down, I would take my arms on each side and start pumping to have them pass it down with my hips. So the response was, everyone was like, oh my God, what are you on?
Fair enough to ask.
Right, and my response was, I'm on lemonade, damn it, buy one now. And next thing you know, guys, I swear, everybody, all the hands started going up. They all like, lemonade. They all wanted. So, at the end of the day, I go home. My sales were like, wow, like through the roof. And I count my tips. I'm like, oh my God, this is a joke. This really can't be happening. So all of a sudden, I go there the next few days, and it continues. So all of a sudden, and this is a true story. So here it is, 4 weeks into it. I'm shaking now. I'm going crazy. Then they moved me between the middle home plate and the end of the first bit stuck out. No joke. I get a call, not me, but I get a call from the manager. He called me in the room. It was the owner of the Orioles, Angelus. And he said, what the hell is this guy doing? To my manager. Like, what's this guy doing? He's crazy habit. All of a sudden, my manager, Petey, goes and he says, he takes out the chart and he looks at the sale. He says, shit, he can do whatever hell he wants to do. He sailed them all the chart. Well, next thing you know, the TV camera started picking me up. The jumbotron started picking me up. So, here it is, 6 weeks in, this guy comes running up to me. And he stops me. He was a fan. And he says, I want to hire you for my son's bar mitzvah party. I said, what? He said, yeah, I want to hire you for my son's bar mitzvah party. I want to hire you the lemonade shake. I said, what? The lemonade what? What are you talking? He says, give me one of your business cards. Business card? What business card? What are you talking about? I said, I don't have a business. I tell you what, I'll give you my number. So I texted out my number. He said, well, my entertainment consultant will get in touch with you. I'm like, oh my God, what am I getting myself into? Your entertainment consultant? What's going on here? So she calls me up. She says, so what do you do? I said, I don't know. I shake. She said, no, what do you do? I said, baby, I'm like a ball of fire. I'm going to fire it up. And the next thing you know, I did that party in November. And then all of a sudden, 4 or 5 months get by. It was then the new season, April of 98. And a local entertainment company, we've been trying to contact you for the last 4 or 5 months. We want to hire you for a convention party. For convention players coming all over the country. It's going to be at the Baltimore Aquarium. We want you to entertain. So at that moment, the light bulb went off. I said, I better come up with some stuff. Meaning some interactive thing. Props, sayings. So instead of just shaking, because people are now hiring me to be at their party. Either way, to be the energizer of the party, to get the party jump started, or to be the conversation piece, what have you. And then it just slowly got out. One party, two party, three, and it just snowballed. And then we're still shaking for it's a stadium, it grew, ESPN, the magazine covers, all this craziness. I've been swimming up to Boston to do motivational speaking. I mean, it was out of control. But then all of a sudden, on the sixth year, the company that I worked for no longer got their contract renewed. So this is where the story begins on how did you start selling beer now, right? That's how we know each other.
Right, yep. Lots of beers.
lots of beers. So what happened was when the company that I worked for didn't get their contract picked up for me to stay at the stadium, I had to then go over to, at the time it was Aramark. And at Aramark, it wasn't like you just came in and say, I was the lemonade guy. They're like, no, it doesn't work like that. How it works was, there's a list, and you have to earn the right, vendor one, vendor two, vendor three, on your total of sale. And whatever numbers you are, you get to pick, they had a board at the time, whatever product and whatever room. So you had to earn it. So, I mean, I remember the first month I'm selling ice cold water and soda in April, and you know how cold it gets on those April nights.
Right.
You got guys, it's like, you know, 40 degrees. So you get to earn your strike, earn it back. Well, here's a funny story what people don't realize. Well, now it's starting to get warm out. May-ish. Mid-May, end of May, Memorial Day, somewhere around there. The manager at the time said, we want you to shake lemonade. I said, great, so do I. I said, so do I. The Orioles want you to shake lemonade. I said, great, let's do it. Now remember, at the time, you had a board and you had a list. And I was so far down on the list because I was a new employee at their company that I could not choose. It was very difficult to get lemonade on a hot day. Like, I would get, like, hot pretzels on a 90-degree day.
Huh.
So, that being said, on the board, they knocked off one, meaning one lemonade product was already to be taken. So everyone was looking at me like, oh, my God, why is there one already marked off before they started calling the vendors to pick products? They all looked at me. They were like, oh, my God. So I hurry up and ran up the room. And that day, I never felt like you could cut a knife through the tension. And it felt really weird because here I am doing what I love to do, but like my fellow vendors were upset that I was selling lemonade because...
You're in their turf.
Right, I'm on their turf. And I didn't earn, even though I worked for the other company for 5 years.
Right.
So, I did it the second day, and after the second day, I saw how it upset the other vendors. Then I went to the vending manager, and I said, look, guys, don't save me a lemonade product. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. You give me some time, I will earn my strike. And if it becomes available, I will then take it. But I want to earn it. And then I gained the respect of the vendors because I didn't have to do that. But you could tell the guys there was so much tension that it was very... When you go to work, you want to feel good. You want to feel good with not only with the fans, but you want to feel good with the people that you work with.
Right.
And at that time, guys, it wasn't like that. So I earned my chops. I was out there hoping. I was hustling. I mean, I was selling hot dogs, water, soda, and then there were days that I was able to get, as I earned my stripe, as I went up the list, then I was able to get lemonade. So for about the first 10 years, I was doing a lot of lemonade. But then, all of a sudden, I kept moving up the list, and this is how I got beer. I said, well, let me try this beer thing. Well, once, and you know, guys, beer is a hot product in the stadium.
Yeah.
It's the top product in the stadium. And so once I started getting beer, I was like, oh, my God, my money went through the roof. So obviously, different products, you have to change your style on what you do. But at that time, 10 years into it, I would have done so many parties as the character of lemonade shaking on, from golf tournaments to speaking to sales meetings to bar and bar mitzvahs. Then I hooked up with a liquor company, Bacardi, 8 years straight, traveling, doing liquor promotion. So, I was well embedded as the character, the shaky guy, or lemonade shaking guy, that it didn't really hurt when I was doing beer. So then there were people that never knew that I did lemonade, then knew me as the crazy beer guy. And then I would have fun with it. Like you, when you were sitting in the section, lemonade, where can I find you? LemonadeShakeGuy.com, he's good, but he ain't cheap.
Yeah, there we go.
Right, and I'd have fun with people. He's good, but he ain't cheap, he don't give it away. And I get the fans involved, trying to develop, and actually it's helped me with my comedic timing for my act as the lemonade guy. So now when I do parties, I mean, I trademark the game, and I do it with lemon drop shots now, not just lemonade, and I incorporated the whole game, and it's an amazing journey. An amazing journey.
Shake it. The one thing that I've always noticed, and even just talking to you on the phone today to get you on here, it doesn't necessarily seem like an act. You're just a very passionate dude. Would I be wrong to say that? Do you ever sit down, or are you standing right now with your tub around your neck?
Yeah, guys, believe it or not, yeah, I do. It's the yin and the yang. I have the old saying, when I'm out and I'm performing, I'll turn into the couch, shaky. I'm an A guy, shaky, however you want to call me. When I come to my house, I'm Mark.
Right.
So I have to kind of separate the two. Like, if I go out to dinner and I want to relax, you know, have a beer, have a glass of wine, I don't go to the waiter, hey, man, what do you got for dessert? What do you got for dessert?
You said earlier that those trays get heavy on you. Do you have to work out like an off season to carry those trays, or is that just something you just like developed knowing how to carry those things over the years?
So you mentioned abs. So basically, if I want to get abs, all I have to do is just carry a tub and run up the stairs? Then I might get abs?
Just carry a tub and run up the stairs, and you gotta do it like you mean it. Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
Bend the knees. Come on, straight back. Bend those knees. Tight abs. Very good. Lift with the arms. Here we go. Up. Then you yell. In with the nose, out with the nose. Breathe in, breathe out.
Shake. So maybe you could be my personal trainer too.
Add-ons, with the act that I've developed, and then I do that. So it's kind of like I've got two different entities.
Right.
Now, I'm getting through, like last night, when I worked Pier 6, it's a very mellow. You're on the water.
Right.
It's the grand area. So I'm not going to crank you, because you have to know how to read an event, and people don't want to hear me yelling. They want to listen to the music. So I go over and say, hey, guys, I'm going to be your beer guy. I'm going to be providing lawn service today. This is the thing. Put your hand out. Wave me over. I know what that means. That means give me my freaking beer right now. You don't have to say nothing. Give me the arm wave. I'll come right over. Because you don't need to hear me yet. So in certain situations, they carry for certain acts. And I think that's very important, that you have to know how to read an event. To know when to yell, when to pull back, when to sit down. So people want to, you don't want to impede people's good time at the ballpark. You want to add to it. And I have a simple saying. Your job is to relax. My job is to serve. You keep relaxing and let me serve you all day and night.
Yeah, okay? Baby.
You just put your hands back and let me do the work. And people like that. Because ultimately when you get to an event, guys, or you go to a game or a concert,
it's all about.
Yep, always a good time with you.
And that's what it's all about. Because I would say it's not about me, it's about the experience. And I want to make sure that when you leave, that you had the best time. Because in 10 years, 20 years, you're not going to remember the score of that particular game, but you're going to remember, damn, I had a good time. That guy was a nut. He made stands. I had a smile on my face. I was like, damn, I enjoyed watching him more than the game. He was so much fun. And that's the experience that I want you to ultimately.
Now, on a normal game, how early are you there? And then, like, after last call, is it like, that's it, you're done, you go home? Or are you hanging out for a little bit? Like, are you there for the whole game?
Right, the way it works is, okay, let's take, for instance, if you have a 7 o'clock baseball, typically they allow you to set up on the concourse anywhere from a half hour to an hour before the game starts. So, depending how busy the game is, if it's a sold-out game, you're going to want to be on that concourse an hour prior to the game starts. So that means I'm going to get there an hour and a half before the game. But if it's a slower game and it's not sold out, all I need to have a half hour before the game. So if the game starts at 7, I may get to my room at 6:15, 6:20, relax, what have you, then get my product and go out. Now, last call is in the 7th inning. So at the end of the 7th inning, we have to go right back to the room and we have to check out. Now, if I have tabs, because a lot of times I have tabs.
Right, yeah.
What I have to do is I have to return my product, because you cannot go back out with alcohol. So you return your product back into your room. If it's a really hot day, I may take out some water. If it's not, no big deal. And then I'll go to my tabs and collect my tabs during the checkout. But you can't go back out there with alcohol.
Gotcha. On just kind of switching gears, and
sure.
We had on John, the old sunglass guy who sits behind the home plate, the Orioles dugout, with his sunglasses and his shirt and tie on, and he's kind of like you, where it just kind of happened. But how often do people, like, recognize you? Do you, like, if you're out, people are like, hey, it's Shaky, you know, or whatever, if you're around in the area, does that ever happen?
All the time. But I always, they'll say, you look familiar, I can't, wait a minute.
Right.
I know you from somewhere, I'm trying to pin it, and then I'll play, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's probably without the hat.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. But you look familiar. Wait a minute, are you that guy at the stadium? Yeah, that's me.
What, speaking of the stadium, what's kind of your favorite story You told me one about that guy in his company who kind of grew and grew, and he kept coming to you. What's kind of your favorite story that, that you have over the course of 20 years? I'm sure there's many, but one that just sticks out to you.
One that sticks, well, that particular story is such, it was 10 years ago, and he was sitting in my section, gentleman with his wife and his two small children, and he had just started a company, maybe three, four employees. And he brought him to the game, and I said, hey, and it just so happened, I said, you guys want to start a tab? He's like, I'm like, sure I could do that. No problem. So that particular day, we started tab, and it was only about maybe 6 to 8 beers. It wasn't much, guys. It wasn't much at all. 6, 8 beers, a couple peanuts. It wasn't much. I give him my card. I said, every year you come back, let me know that you're going to be here, and I'll make sure that I take care of you. He said, great. Next year he comes back, he had about 15 to 20 employees. It's about 35 to 40 beers that year. Pretty good, right?
Right.
The next year was about 60 employees. So let's fast forward 10 years to this year. So the relationship I built, they've got my number, I've been to their office, they're great people, they'll let me know a month in advance. 420 people, they take up an entire section, entire row, 420 people. It's outrageous. They're having fun. I'm carrying 3 cases, not including a peanut bag filled with 2 cases of water and 2 cases of peanut. I'm throwing the, bringing the peanuts, throwing, passing out the water. The beer's crazy. And it is the most fun to see the smog on their faces of what has developed over these 10 years. It's priceless. And how much it means to them that they look forward every year to this one day that they know it's going to be the best time that they can possibly have. And then I'm a part of it. That is priceless. And then, yeah, so what they do is before the game, they're out in the bullpen area. You know that picnic area?
Yep.
So they're all out there. I go over there. I'll introduce myself. Hey, guys, they all recognize me. I say, hey, make sure, don't worry, you're going to have a great time. Da-da-da-da. And then they'll start the party. Once they all get seated, and it's every year in June, and it's the best time. But I will tell you this, if it was every week, I'd be dead. Cause at the end of the day, guys, it's a lot of work. I mean, but it's that one day that you always know that you got something to look forward to.
And you got
to
bring the A-game.
Thing is, I developed so many regulars over the years that they'll wait for me. They know they're going to get great service. And we josh back and forth with one another. We have a good time with one another. That's what it's all about, ultimately. The relationships that you build over the years.
I mean, definitely. I mean, we started, we had you, I guess, out in Section 82 back in 2011, I guess, was the first year we had you. And then we had you for 3 or 4 years.
Right, and do you remember the relationships we developed? And remember how we had fun with all the fans?
It was great.
And remember, like we'd always say, 8 to 11, 8, what did you guys used to say? Remember?
I still yell at he's good, but he ain't cheap. LemonadeShakeGuy.com. I have a few silvers in me, and all of a sudden it starts coming out.
Exactly. And the thing is, the regulars are like, wow, you're having a good time, that you're getting into the game.
Right.
And then someone else went down, yeah, you can find him at LemonadeShakingGuy.com. So we're interacting with one another, and then you bring all the other fans involved with one another. That's what it's all about, ultimately.
And it riles everybody up. So sticking on the story, the listeners are going to want to hear kind of the opposite side. What's kind of a funny story, I guess you can tell, that sticks out of not so good of an experience that you can kind of laugh at now?
Well, it was one in particular, and I'll never forget this. I'm shaking lemonade. I'm going up and down and up and down. One of those hot days. And I was just on the roll. We had this guy. He kept standing up and he kept heckling me. I mean, heckling me, like, really bad. Like, to the point where it's just, like, getting annoying. It's fun that you can get some jibs here and there. But it got to the point where just inning after inning, he just kept on ribbing me and ribbing me and ribbing me. Well, then all of a sudden, this is in front of everyone. I stood up. I said, you want this damn lemonade? You're going to get it now. Pass it up. Wait a minute. I'm not shaking the damn lemonade.
All right, Sheik. I guess before we let you go, tell us kind of what you have going on as far as, you know, where they can find you on the internet and in the sections. Kind of tell us what you have planned so people kind of know what you're doing so they can come see you kind of before the game. If you're there, if they listen to this and they haven't met you and they want to meet you, we know where you're at. So kind of tell everybody what you have going on in the future as far as where to be able to find you, what section you're in, all that good stuff.
Well, my website is lemonadeshakingguy.com. That's lemonadeshakingguy.com. And on my website, it's got all the it's got everything I've been in, from magazines to TV to photos to all my client lists. So you're seeing what I've done.
Right.
You see what I'm about. But there's also a part of my website where it does find me, and it's a spinning head of me, and it spins, and it'll list which sporting event I'll be at and at what section, and prior to the game, if I'll be hanging out on the Concord and where. So for sporting events or concerts, that'll be on my website. For private parties, I don't list private parties. For corporate or private, because the general public can't get to those.
Right.
Does that
kind
of make sense?
Yeah.
So anything public will be on my website, and we'll know exactly where I'll be and exactly where I'll be selling. And you know that I don't, and how I found for me over the years to get the best service, I used to do like 15, 20 sections and run all over the place.
Right.
When I found one, if I condense my section, I can get really, really good service. Because ultimately, that's what it's about. So I pinpoint the sections I'm going to be at, and where I'm going to be before the game on the concourse, and so everyone will know exactly where I'm at and what I've been up to.
Awesome, Sheik. Thanks. And finally, before we let you go, you got to hit us with a superstar, and then we'll send you off.
You got it. Hey, guys!
Shaky, thank you, man. You are the best. We'll let you go. Thank you for spending a half hour of your time with us, man. And we'll see you at the ballpark on the next homestand.
Hey, guys, look forward to seeing you. Definitely, and one thing, let's have a great time, okay?
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, man. You have a good one, all right?
You too, guys. Be good and see you at the ballpark.
All right, thanks,
sir.
Later.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks to Shaky for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it. You guys can, of course, find him at lemonadeshakingguy.com. And while we're on the discussion, we're going to switch over to those still first-place Baltimore Orioles. Still got a one-game lead on Toronto, three on Boston. Now, the case with Toronto is we do have a one-game lead, but they have just as many wins as us. We've just played less games. Now we're coming off a three-game series with the White Sox, and Manny Machado had himself a ball game yesterday. Three home runs, three innings. First player to do so since 1930. That was awesome.
That was pretty impressive. Those shots were just... He knew every one of them.
That second one was an absolute laser. Like, that thing... Maybe 3 seconds was out of the ballpark. That thing was just on a frozen rope out.
Gone. It's nice to see him heating up, man, because he was cold in July. His numbers were not very good.
And usually once he starts doing things like this, they come in bunches. So hopefully he starts getting hot, because they need it right now. With Davis slumping, Trumbo's in a little bit of a slump too. You know, the only one that's really been hitting right now is El Toro Pedro Alvarez.
And JJ.
And JJ, yeah. He had a bomb yesterday too.
It'd be nice if... It's nice that JJ and Alvarez, who haven't been hot all year, are now hot when the big guys are out. So it's good to see that they're still in first place, considering the whole team essentially is in a slump.
Uh-huh.
And you don't see that too often. So hopefully these guys can start picking it up, man, because we're coming down. We have, 50 games left?
Not many more.
52 games left, I think it is now, as of August 8th. So it's crunch time now, man, and I actually listen to something. I don't listen to 105 that often, but Bob Haney said something to me that really stuck out. He said, every single game to me, is like Game 7 of the World Series. And I couldn't agree more. I'm like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I have to be in front of my television.
No,
or I got to be at the ballpark. It doesn't matter. And he's 100% right. So shout out to you, Bob Haney, for taking the words right out of my mouth and the feelings right out of my brain, because that's exactly how it feels.
I think the other thing, so Machado hit all those home runs yesterday. It overshadowed another dominant game by Dylan Bundy. He's the future, man. He's the ace that we've been looking for. We wanted to trade for some guy for all this time. We got him. We just can't screw him up now, basically. That's it.
We were sitting at the bar yesterday. We were sitting at Looney's. He throws a curveball, and I almost fell out of my seat because I thought
filthy.
He was going to hit the guy.
Yes,
I was like, oh, he's going to put it right in his back, and then it's on the outside corner. I'm like, oh, shit. How did that happen? I need a seatbelt sitting here at the bar because I'm going to topple over because that curveball is just nasty, dude. Just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, set a career high in strikeouts yesterday. And we've already talked about our show. Beginning of the year, he couldn't strike anybody out. Couldn't strike anybody out. And now he's just mowing people down.
Velocity's getting higher.
It's good to see.
He's not just throwing fastballs and wondering where they're going to go. Wieters or Caleb puts the ball out or puts the glove out. He hits it.
Yep.
He hits the glove. It's fun to watch, man. Now the thing is, now you watch the game, you're like, oh, all right, you can count that as a W. Bundy's starting.
Yep.
You know, he's only going to give up two runs.
Bundy Sunday.
Six and a third, six and two thirds, whatever it is. If we can get Gausman going, man, we're going to be.
Gausman had a decent outing the last time out.
Yeah, it did.
And that's the thing. I kind of want to see those two compete with each other. Like, hey, I want to one up him now.
Right.
And then that's how the two of them are going to get better, because that's the future of this rotation. Those two guys, and hopefully they re-sign Tillman at some point.
It's going to be fun to watch, man. Coming down the stretch, if we get hot, I mean, we'd be like the Royals. Never know.
But we're already in first place. It's a little different.
Right. But everybody's saying it's a fluke first place.
Well, everybody is saying that. So everybody's like, now just all of a sudden I've seen some national writers say, hey, maybe give the Orioles some credit. And I'm like, yeah, we've been giving them credit all along. You guys just don't understand what's going on down here.
And considering they've been in first place essentially all season.
Basically all season. I think I saw it was like they've been in first place 120 days or something like along those lines. Something crazy like that. Non-stop, too. We're talking about consecutively.
Yeah.
Like, we've basically been on, I think since we started this podcast, twice.
That's
two
fishy.
Days that they've been under 500.
That's fishy.
Or, excuse me, not under 500, but.
We started a podcast, the O's just stay in first place.
Well, then, maybe we should keep doing this forever.
A little fishy to me. Who knows?
No, don't worry. I got a that's fishy later that we're going to talk about. Has to do with football. Wade Miley had his first start with the Orioles, and it was all right. That's what we need Orioles pitching to do.
Right.
We need them to go 5-6 innings, give up 3-4 runs. O's didn't win that night. That's because of the bats.
Right.
They got to score more than 4 runs. I mean, we know that with this team. We knew going into the year, 5-6 runs were the way this team was going to win.
A couple of fluke hits, too.
Oh, they were fluke hits, don't get me wrong.
Two of them were right over Davis's head. Davis had that ground ball that he got, that sin-shoo-shoo. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's my enunciation, or pronunciation, whatever. He got shaded and shielded, and he didn't make the play. A couple of those, man, saves a few runs. Those won that ball game. And what backwoods of Alabama did Wade Miley crawl out of? God.
Right?
Buck's got to be like, dude, get rid of that facial hair. You smell like raccoons and skunks. Like, take a shower, bud. I like it, though. He's my kind of guy.
I bring the bad news here, though. I've got bad numbers that I'm seeing for Wade Miley. 4 starts at Baltimore, 7.79 ERA, a 1.673 whip. He's given up 4 home runs with 4 starts, 320 batting average, 16 runs. Just nothing sounds good about the potential of him having Camden Yards being his home ballpark.
So I'll spin this. Not enough showings.
I hope you're right about that.
Yeah, a couple bad days. He might get in a fight with the wife every time he comes to Baltimore. Who knows? So, now that he's here, hopefully he can turn it around. But sample size is a cliche word there. Not enough sample size.
And I want to, it just came into my head, I did want to bring this up. You keep bringing up the fact that we need to start talking about Zach Britton in the Cy Young conversation. He is that pitch, the sinker, has already been voted the number one pitch in baseball by MLB players. he's unhittable. Just to say the least, he's unhittable.
You have to just get lucky. Literally, that's how you hit his. But you got to get lucky because he's not aiming anywhere. He's just throwing it. And he doesn't know where it's going to get. He just throws it and it darts and dives. He just tries to hit the middle of the plate, and I promise it will be 6 to 8 inches away from where he's aiming. So you got to hope he throws one 96. Even 96 flat is still hard to hit. You got to hope he throws a flat 96 mile an hour fastball with no movement, and you get lucky. That's pretty much the only way you can hit him. It's crazy. Did you foresee this coming when he was a starting pitcher? I didn't.
No. I mean, to be this dominant with one pitch, I think that's the crazy part about it. Most guys, you need, they rely on a second pitch, like Bundy's curveball we were just talking about. Like, that's the main reason why he's so filthy is because he has that second pitch and third pitch also. But he just goes up there, just wings this 97 to 98 mile per hour sinker, and like you said, they're guessing.
34 out of 34, man.
Yep.
It's crazy because he would probably have a lot more saves, but in some of these games, those are just blowing people out.
That's true, too. Yeah. And speaking of which, Ubaldo got a save yesterday. First career save.
Would he pitch more than 2 innings or
he
whatever?
He pitched 3 innings of shutout baseball. Hopefully that's the only time we see Ubaldo, too, in a role like that, where we're up like that, winning 10-2 and just cruising along like that. But back to Britain, Eric Gagne is the last guy to do it, win the Cy Young. And his numbers were filthy over 2 years.
Right.
So that's what, like, gave him the benefit of the doubt. Granted, don't get me wrong, Britain's numbers the past 2 years have been filthy. Actually, you can make case the past 3 years have been nasty.
So, Sale's got, what, 14 wins? I think he has 14.
Yeah, but Sale hasn't been as dominant the past
Who's
couple
got
starts.
Somebody has 16. Is it,
Cole?
Is it Joe Kelly?
I don't know. That would surprise me, because I think Cole Hamels, I know, is if you're going to vote for starting pitchers right now, for me, Cole Hamels is the guy who's leading the AL in Cy Young. Because, really, other than that, who else is there? You said Sale. That was the guy, but he hasn't been himself lately. And I can't even remember who else is in the AL right now that's deserving of it. Felix hasn't been that good this year.
What's his face is Cleveland. Salazar.
Oh, okay, yeah. Looking up candidates right now.
Looking up AL pitching leaders.
Here it is. ESPN's got a Cy Young predictor. And it has ESPN's...
No, Habs win it.
No, hold on. ESPN's Cy Young predictor, as of this day right now, has Zach Britton on top of J.A. Happ, Cole Hamels, Chris Tomlin at 4, and Chris Sale at 5.
Yeah, because J. Happ leads the league with 15 wins. Tillman's second. It's Rick Porcello, not Jim
Porcello.
Kelly. Kelly stinks. Whatever.
Porcello stinks, too.
He's right there, man. He's in the thick of things. I think the only way that he doesn't win it is if one of these guys gets to 20 wins.
20 wins, which is actually probably a good possibility.
I mean,
but at the same time,
Tillman could get there.
Tillman, yeah, exactly. Tillman can get there. But say Britton gets to 50 saves. I mean, maybe allows one more run all year long. Maybe two. That's the only way. Honestly, the only way I can see him losing it at this point is if he has a one game where he just gets shelled.
Right.
And it's not going to happen.
He could even blow a save, too.
No. Yeah, you can blow a save or two, and I think he'll still be fine. Because none of these other guys are really running. If Chris Tillman, and we watch Chris Tillman, like, he's not deserving of a sight. Yeah, he's got the wins, but, like, he's so up and down that he's not as dominant as, like, I would give Cole Hamels as a dominant pitcher.
Right. If Britton goes 50 out of 52.
Yeah, you got to give it to
him. Like, a 1.3 ERA or something.
Right now he's at a .58 ERA.
Right. And I'm just saying, if he gives up 2 runs or you know, whatever, a couple runs here or there, I just don't see it happening. You can't hit him.
No, you can't.
I mean, he's literally unhittable. Every time, once you get in the eighth inning, if you're losing, I almost feel like we're the Yankees now in that sense. You get to the eighth inning, well, not anymore, but if you get to the eighth, the seventh, yeah, pretty much too. If you get to the eighth and you have to see Brock or O'Day, and then you got Britton in the ninth, it's
over. I mean, Britton, once it's in, it's over. Right. That's what, like you said with Bundy, when that day comes, when Britton goes in there, it's all right, game over, we won.
Right.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like,
if you give him more than one run, even one run, it's essentially a rest. Still get a little nervous if we're up one, but if you're up two, there's no way.
No.
And he's got to walk two guys.
And he's good enough that, like, he has those times where he goes an inning and a third.
Right.
Or, you know, games like that where we really need him to do that. Because he has that experience as a starting pitcher, so he can do that too. He's the best. He better win it. All right, it's time for our favorite segment. Good old Sevens. Our seven random sports discussions of this week. We're going to start with baseball. And Ichiro is the newest member of the 3,000 Hit Club. Does he have more hits than Pete Rose?
No, I'm not counting that.
Me neither.
No way.
Neither
I'm keeping it here. Some people are. If you're going to do it all in one spot. I know some people say it. Forget that. Ichiro's got 3,000. That's what he has to me.
Now, to back him up a little bit, back Ichiro up a little bit, he did his 3,000 hits in 1,500 less plate appearances. He had 10 straight years with 200 hits. 10 straight years. Rose only did that 10 times his whole career. And the 262 hits he had in 2004 were the most ever by a player. So I think if he was here, he would have smoked every record. But because of the fact that he was over there, I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt. Like Rose said, he's like, why don't you throw in my minor league and high school stats too? Because it's the same thing.
If your uncle had tits, he'd be your aunt.
Exactly. Next up, speaking of somebody who probably has tits, Alex Rodriguez, Mr. A-Roid himself. Bye-bye.
What's his cousin going to do now for work?
Supply Manny Machado.
I hope not.
When he's a Yankee in a couple of years.
Good riddance. Good riddance.
It's going to be a special advisor. He's going to make $25 million to be a special advisor. What the hell do I got to do to be a special advisor? I'll do it for $25,000.
Good riddance, man. I don't care anything about that guy. I used to, when he was playing on Seattle back in 96 or whatever.
Yeah, everybody liked him then.
Everybody liked him.
Because he was the young kid.
Now
he's just a scumbag. Youngest of 500 home runs. And I think the best part about it is the Yankees were like, you know what? We're not even going to let you get to 700.
Because I think they had to pay him like $4 million more.
I think that's what it all is. I think it has all the money to do with it.
Like, listen, dude, we're already going to pay you another $20 million, $25 million. We're not giving you four more.
Yeah.
So, kick rocks, man. And
I mean, he's batting 209. He's not doing anything. He's hardly playing.
So maybe Davis should retire then.
Davis still has 25 home runs. Still got 25 home runs. And then his running mate, slash that coward who ditched the Orioles for the money, Mark Teixeira is also gone.
Teixeira, I'm going to miss watching him swing because it always looks like he's holding in a fart.
Yep.
Or pushing out a fart very violently while he clenches his teeth and attempts to swing. So I'm going to miss Tex for that. Other than that, man, he can... Whatever happens to him, I don't care either.
Good riddance.
Yep. Screw him.
I'm glad that the Yankees... Glad that these guys are gone because I hate them all, but they also suck now, so that means the Yankees are going to be putting better guys in there, and that, you know, they overhauled at the trade deadline too, so I'm worried about them for like the future. And now there's this talk of like them going bananas when all those guys go free agents in a couple of years, and I could really see that because the last time they went nuts like that is when they got Teixeira, CeCe, AJ Burnett. Like, they went nuts that year, spent like $250 million, and they're going to have the money to do that again.
What's nice to see, though, is you see you got to play the Yankees 9 more times. We should win 7 out of 9.
Oh, we should.
Like, you look at them, you're like, oh, we can go to Yankee Stadium and kick the shit out of them because they're horrible. So we got that this year. So a couple cupcake games.
That's all hopefully. We need, especially right now, down the stretch. Let's switch it over to some basketball talk. Russell Westbrook got a fat new contract.
Loyalty, baby.
I didn't see it coming.
Loyalty. Everybody thought he was going to Lakers, right?
Everybody thought that. I didn't see him sticking around. I wouldn't say maybe the Lakers, even though obviously that was the presumptive favorite. But I just didn't see him re-signing now that Durant was gone.
Right.
I just didn't see it happening whatsoever. I just figured that was it. He's going to go dip out on them too. And Westbrook was going to sign with either the highest bidder or a team like the Lakers who can, in 2 years, they're going to have the money to do the same thing we were just talking about the Yankees. They have the money to just shell out to everybody they want.
Hey, man, good for him for sticking to his guns and sticking to his loyalty. Now we get another year of him pregame dances.
That is true.
Those are fire, so I love seeing them.
They also announced today that Durant's first game back in OKC will be February 11th. Kind of surprised it's not a Christmas Day game, to be honest.
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm really surprised, because the other game when Oklahoma City goes to Golden State is November 3rd, which is like kind of early on in the season.
I can't get in bed basketball right now.
You can't? We're going to talk a little bit more right now.
Well, I'm good with that. I can do that. I can't Team talk US, NBA.
Team USA is currently on the air right now.
We're in a pennant race, for Christ's sakes.
They're winning 23-20 at the moment with Jimmy Butler at the line. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, did you see the video of him and Klay Thompson catching passes against each other?
No.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. Jimmy Butler could fly. He burned Klay Thompson. Burned him.
My favorite part of the USA team is them staying on a yacht.
Yeah, they just said, the hell with that Olympic Village thing. It's like, we're going to be ballers, and we're just going to live like this.
Like, it's literally just...
If you think about it, of all the athletes that are there, they are hands down the richest athletes there.
Big Brazilian butts.
Oh, everywhere.
You know those guys love that. And then them hanging out in the brothel that they mistook for a club, even though they said it's only dudes. So that's a little fishy.
Yeah, that's
a little fishy. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but that's a little fishy.
Now, we could even say that the women, they're smoking too.
Oh, yeah.
They won by 40 yesterday. I think they're going to... Those two teams will easily steamroll through, especially now, which really surprised me, is Spain lost yesterday to the Croatians.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming at all. The Croatians are actually a pretty good team, led by a 76er, by the way.
Darius Saric?
Yep. It's pretty good. Now, they're playing Venezuela and no Grievous.
That's upsetting.
No Grievous. No Maryland ties. Because other than that, literally, that was the only reason why I was kind of looking forward to this game. Then I found out. I was like, oh, he's not playing. Now, stay with the Olympics. We are at 13 medals for the United States, leading the way. China is second with 10. Which one sticks out to you the most?
I'm just going to say Phelps getting it, since that's so fresh to become the best Olympian ever. I'm going to stick with that. But you already just assume that the U.S. is going to get gold, and they'll probably win by 30 opposed to 50 in the gold medal match. So I'm going to stick with that. Other than that, man, there's just so much shit going on in the Olympics. It's just so much. You know, my favorite to watch is definitely the outdoor volleyball.
I've been watching that too. I've been watching that a lot.
That's my favorite to watch. That's kind of what I'm keeping my eye on. And I guess the women's national team, soccer. Keep my eye on that. But
I'm always keeping an eye on that.
Right.
I'm looking forward to is the actual track and field stuff.
Yeah,
we haven't gotten
to
any of that. No, I actually don't mind. I just want to see. I think Usain Bolt finally gets beat this year. I think Justin Gatlin's going to get him.
There's one thing I hate more than running. Is watching other people run.
It's 10 seconds.
Yeah, it feels like an eternity. You try it.
10 seconds for them, for you to watch.
The only time I sprint down the stairs is like get something to eat if I'm like really hungry. You're never going to see me like sprint more than 10 seconds, I promise.
All right, and our last seventh, the most disgusting one we're going to talk about. You see that French gymnast break his leg? That was nasty. So it's not as bad as, what was that guy's name? Kevin Smith or whatever it was in Louisville when that thing just came through his leg, but like...
Kevin Ware,
that's it, yeah. But this guy's leg like just snapped like the other way, like it was just nasty.
The hair on my neck is sticking up right now because it's just like...
Ugh.
Goo!
Yeah, that was rough to watch.
It makes me like literally want to puke. I watched it and I was like, I hope I never have to see that again because that was probably one of the grossest things I've ever seen other than when I look in the mirror with my shirt off. But that guy's leg just being like a piece of pasta. It was just like a spaghetti noodle was crazy.
And you feel bad for it because like these people, they don't get the notoriety. Like these basketball guys, we talk about them, you know, all the time.
Right.
The gymnasts, they get one shot in 4 years, right. And then you do that to yourself. That's got to suck. Now let's switch gears to our new favorite segment. That's fishy. I'm going to start with this NFL Hall of Fame game. How do you not get this game played? Can't know how you have one game played in your stadium all season long, and you can't get it right.
It's a little fishy.
That's a lot of fishy.
A little fishy. Mine that's fishy is, I'm going to stick with, we already talked about it, but A-Rod. It was a little fishy. A little fishy that they called an 11 a.m. meeting. Wasn't quite sure which route they were going to go. But that's not the fishy part. They're kicking all their old guys off the team. It's a little fishy to me. Got rid of Jeter last year. They're sending all their old guys out to packing. It's a little fishy to me. A little fishy.
Fuck the Yankees. That's my one fuck for this episode.
Huh.
Now we're going to end the show with some Ravens talk. They just had a second open practice, and from what everything I'm hearing is there's two guys that are really sticking out. Terrence West, the Towson kid, and my boy from TU, the other TU, the real TU, Tavon Young.
He's a nickel corner.
Yeah, but he's been awesome.
I mean, granted, there's a nickel
those.
A lot. That's
you need, you need those guys nowadays.
What's his face for that started off as a nickel? Butler from the Patriots, who saved the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was a nickel for a while because he's undersized too. So, you know, it's looking forward to the season, man. You know, I'm still in baseball mode. So, but we're coming down to the thick of things here. We're starting to get into it.
Thursday. First game.
First game.
How much you bet?
Oh, I'm not that big of a degenerate.
I see that wink. I see that wink.
So speaking of gambling, so we're gonna do start doing a little article every week. It's gonna be called The Loser's Edge. So I'm gonna give you guys some of my picks. Not necessarily you have to take them, but we'll add
probably
a little humor.
Not.
Yeah, we'll add a little humor in there and kind of some of the stuff that I like. Not gonna be much stats. It's gonna be all feel. I'm an eyes guy, not a numbers guy.
We're going to be done talking betting on the show for a second. Tucker's hitting bombs in these practices, hitting 75-yard field goal the other day. And then he said he could
hit. Has he been tested yet? Remember Pat McAfee made that one tackle and they tested him?
That's true.
They're probably testing his ass because he hit a preseason freaking 75-yarder. He'll probably be tested soon, I'd imagine.
And then the guys in Denver are saying that he couldn't hit one from 84. He says that last year in warm-ups he hit one from 84.5. He hit the goalpost.
Do you imagine, like, lying up at the 40, just say, even at the 40 of the other side of the field, and be like, all right, go ahead, man. Have at it.
Yeah.
It just, that would blow my mind.
The Denver punter literally said that Justin Tucker loves himself so much.
I love him, too.
Same. So do I.
Voice of an angel, great hair, Royal Farms guy. Rest in peace, Elodinato.
You brought up Royal Farms. Have you seen these things with Joey Ricker now all of a sudden is doing them? The Rule 5 guy is doing commercials.
Love it. Love it.
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like it should be a bigger name. Ronnie Stanley is hurt. Nothing drastic, but he's hurt with what they're calling a soft tissue injury. What the hell is a soft tissue injury?
It's just something that they say, lower extremity.
Yeah.
They say that.
Basically, they're just saying, we're holding him out of practice. We got no real reason. So, soft tissue injury.
It's a lower extremity issue. Dr. James Andrews, he's off to see him. Whatever.
Now, speaking of injuries, I don't know why this team is just always plagued by injuries. There's a good possibility that when they go into the game on Thursday, they'll go with just 7 healthy receivers, which is not normal for preseason. Only 3 tight ends. And 2 of those tight ends are suspended for the first 4 games of the year. Ben Watson's the only one that they know who's healthy will play on Thursday and will be able to start. Gilmore's hurt. Waller's going to be suspended. Boyle's suspended. Daniel Brown got hurt. Our boy Daniel Brown got hurt.
It's karma, man.
Max Williams is hurt. What's going on? It's just like this team just cannot stay away from the injury bug. It's unbelievable how bad it is.
It's still so early, man. You know, preseason is a time to kind of get rested as far
as
hurt.
Like they're not getting
yeah,
rested.
It's you know you kind of get some reps in, you take a couple hits, but it's time to you're getting your body ready. You're taking some of that rest from all that hard training you've done and all that stuff, and we'll see. I'm not really sure what these guys are going to do because they always seem to get hurt. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what they're eating in there.
I mean, we heard of the second-round pick Correa absolutely blasting Wallace in that one practice, and Joe got in his face for it. Right. We're not hearing, like, of the fight like we heard in New York between Revis and Marshall, like, yeah. Legit going at each other, two stars going at each other. Like, at least things are still mild-tempered down here. And it's been hot as balls in Baltimore recently, too, so I can imagine those practices sucking.
But the thing is, dude, they do that stuff, and a lot of times it's the guys who aren't going to make the team that want to stand out. But the thing is, you got to think of it this way, too. Tempers aren't as bad as they probably previously were, because they don't do 2 days anymore.
Exactly.
So they're not cranky and angry. They're out there running around for a couple hours. That's it. It's not like they're not getting sleep, and then they got to go back out and do it again. They don't do 2 days, so, you know.
And we can't end this show without bringing up Trent Richardson. He gone. Did it surprise you? Because it really didn't surprise me whatsoever. I gave him the benefit of the doubt just because he was a former Alabama running back, and I thought maybe Ozzie would try to keep him around just for that reason. But what we've seen him playing-wise, he doesn't deserve it. And just because he lost 25 pounds doesn't mean anything either.
He's still waiting on his Hall of Fame. He said he was going to make the Hall of Fame. I believe him. So, Trent, best of luck, bud.
The CFL Hall of Fame or the Arena League Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's a great question. We'll get him on the show and we'll ask him ourselves.
Yeah, we'll
ask him. Nothing else to do.
Right now? No, you don't.
All right, guys, that will end the show. Special thanks again to Mark, a.k.a. Lemonade Shake Guy. Again, visit him at lemonadeshakingguy.com. And we'll see you next week. Clearly have a little more as far as the Ravens because we'll get to see some first live action. So that'll be interesting to kind of see what's going on there. And hopefully the O's are still in first place as we do this next Monday. So without further ado, let's cue the music.
Celtics select Len Bias of the University of Maryland.
The senior with 2 seconds. Here it goes for the win. Yes! No, the Crash done it. Maryland on to the second round and a most heroic finish.
Blackwell stepping up and throwing deep down the far sideline. Caught into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Jones.
Cato foul territory, long throw. Oh, mercy. Gonna see that one for a few years. 2-2 delivery. Oh!